All right, we'll call to order the Stevensville Town Council meeting for Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. Ms. Hoffman, would you please call roll?
Mayor Dewey.
Here.
Councilmember Michelson.
Here.
Councilmember Vick.
Here.
Councilmember Devlin has an excused absence this evening. So, Councilmember Holcomb.
Here.
Okay, great. Thank you. If you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first item of business on the agenda tonight is approval of the minutes for January 9th, 2020. Ms. Holcomb.
I move that we approve the minutes for January 9th, 2020.
Is there a second? Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Vick to approve January 9th, 2020 minutes. Council discussion. Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Great, thank you. Next, approval of biweekly claims, numbers 15660 through 15739.
I make a motion that we segregate out 15661, 15731, and 15732 due to me being involved with departments that are that those claims go with.
Can you repeat the numbers slowly?
15661, 15731, and 15732.
Okay, Councilmember Vick's motion is to separate out claims 15661, 15731, and 15732, correct?
Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, second by Ms. Holcomb. Council discussion? Public comment? All right. Councilmember Michelson, just a motion to separate the claims at this time. How do you vote?
Yes.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
And Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
All right, so I'll entertain a motion from Council to approve biweekly claims exception of 15661, 15731, and 15732.
I'll
make it. Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Vick. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
On claim number 15729, I talked with Robert on this, but I wanted to, that had to do with, that was what budgeted in December, right, Robert, the skidster?
Yes.
And it was in three different ones, correct?
Yes.
Commodities Department, Water Street. Okay. For a total of 24.5?
Further questions on claims? From Council. Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote, reminding Council this is for claims with the exception of the three noted. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Next, I'd entertain a motion from Council to approve claims 15661, 15731, and 15732.
So moved.
Been moved by Ms. Holcomb. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Michelson. Council discussion. Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Abstain.
All right, motion carries. All right, no administrative reports tonight. Those were covered in the last council meeting, and you'll see those again at the beginning of next month. There are no guests to recognize tonight, so we'll move into correspondence. There are two pieces of correspondence tonight, one noted on the agenda, one we received today in the mail. I'll read the first one that came in, or first one that's on the agenda into the record tonight. It is dated January 13th, 2020, addressed to Mayor Brandon Dewey. Dear Mayor Dewey, I attended the town council meeting on January 9th, 2020 with my 12-year-old granddaughter. We sat one row back from the front. There was a discussion going on between council members during the portion where a council president was being chosen. There was a discussion between Councilperson Devlin and Councilperson Michelson on the motion of Michelson being voted in as the new president. I can be heard saying to my granddaughter that he quit at 8.32 minutes into the town of Stevensville municipal government video recording of the town council meeting. Leanna Rodebaugh, sitting in the row behind me and two seats to my left, partially stood up, bent over, and leaned towards me and said, "Sue, shut up." She can be heard saying this on the video of the meeting at 8.36 minutes into the meeting. I felt very intimidated and threatened by her actions both during and after the meeting. After the meeting, with my granddaughter beside me, I approached Mr. Michelson and asked him to confirm to my granddaughter that what I said to her was true, that he had quit before. Ms. Rodebaugh approached me and told me to stop bullying Mr. Michelson. I again asked him if what I said to my granddaughter was true, and he said, "Yes, I did." Ms. Rodebaugh followed me as I was approaching the town council table and said that I had yelled "quitter" and "why don't you quit again" at Mr. Michelson. As you can hear in the video, that is not accurate. She got right in my face when approaching me, and I truly felt threatened. It is my belief that anyone attending town hall should feel they are in a safe environment. I feel my safety was in jeopardy during, after, and outside after that meeting. I have taken my concerns to the Stevensville Police Department and filed a complaint. Sincerely, Susan A. Devlin, 305 6th Street. The second piece of correspondence was received today in the mail from attorneys Dotsopoulos, McDonald, and Lind. And it's addressed to Mr. John Kellogg, but the town council is copied on it. It reads, "Dear Mr. Kellogg, please be advised that this law firm represents Creekside Meadows Homeowners Association, which is the governing body of Creekside Meadows Subdivision, located in Stevensville, Montana. Pursuant to Creekside's recent correspondence with Ralph and Dwight Hooley, it has come to Creekside's attention that the Hooleys intend to apply for subdivision development on property bordering the existing Creekside subdivision and its many neighbors. The purpose of this letter is to inform you that Creekside has retained this firm to ensure the proposed development does not jeopardize the safety or environmental vitality of Creekside Meadows subdivision. While Creekside understands that the sale of the adjacent property is pending and a subdivision application has yet to be submitted, Creekside desires to address this matter at this time in an effort to monitor the application at its inception and to ensure Creekside's interests are protected. We appreciate your attention to this matter, this important matter. If you have any further questions or concerns, please do not hesitate to contact the undersigned at 406-728-0810. Sincerely, but Dotsopoulos, McDonald, and Lind, PC, William Bay Van Canahan. CC'd Eichert Realty, Exit Realty, Bitter Valley, Mayor Dewey, and Stevensville Town Council. Concludes the correspondence portion of our agenda. We'll open the floor for public comment. It's an opportunity to comment on anything on tonight's agenda or under the jurisdiction of the town of Stevensville. Please step forward to the podium, sign the public comment sheet, state your name and address for the record. Is there any public comment? Okay. We'll move into unfinished business. Discussion decision on resolution 458. A resolution creating an ad hoc climate action advisory board. Council member Vic, do you want to take it from here?
Yeah, first thing I'm going to do is make a motion to amend the agenda because I think there was just a miscommunication somewhere. Just want to amend it to where we're adding a town citizen to make the board a total of 5 members instead of 4.
So you're asking to amend the resolution, correct?
Correct.
So we're under be it further resolved that right. The advisory board shall be made up of 4 members, 1 councilperson, a local business owner, a member of the school board dependent on school board approval, and a medical provider within the town, and you want to add 1 more person?
Yes, and that would be just a local citizen, someone that lives within our wards.
Okay. Is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb, to amend Resolution 458 to add a citizen of Stevensville, or of the town of Stevensville, to the list of board members. Council discussion on that amendment. Ms. Holcomb.
So when they're all approved, will this be updated to show who is going to be on the board and what their duties are?
Yes.
Okay.
To clarify, those people won't be reflected in the resolution itself, but they'll be on a roster.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Otherwise, we'd be updating the resolution every time someone left or got on the board.
It'd be like a park board or anything else.
Correct. It's set up almost identical, not identical to the park board, but similar to other ad hoc boards that the council has appointed. We've used the same structure.
Okay.
And this actually was modeled more recently after the executive compensation committee that was done back in 2015. Is there any further council comment on amending the resolution? Is there any public comment on amending the resolution? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote on the amendment. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes. So from here, the resolution has been amended to add a citizen of Stevensville to the list of board members. Where does the council stand on adopting the resolution? Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion to approve Resolution 458, a resolution creating an ad hoc committee climate action advisory board.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson, seconded by Mr. Vick, to adopt Resolution 458, a resolution of the Stevensville Town Council creating an ad hoc climate action advisory board. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
Is this going to be on a monthly basis? Or 3 months, quarterly?
Right now I'm looking at quarterly.
Quarterly?
Right.
Okay. Further council discussion? Public comment? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Resolution is adopted. From here, a resolution will be filed as we amend it, and then we'll begin advertising for the board members. We'll do a campaign there to recruit some folks. Moving on to unfinished item B, discussion decision, second reading of Ordinance 165, updating building and technical codes for the town of Stevensville. Public hearing was held at 6:30, albeit brief, where public comment was heard on adopting the ordinance and adopting updated building codes and technical codes. And it's before you tonight, passed upon first reading, for you with second reading.
I'll make a motion to approve ordinance number 165.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb, to approve second reading of ordinance 165. Council discussion.
I know that during the public hearing, we had Mr. Moore stepped up and discussed with us about the new NFPA codes that are probably going to be getting updated by the state soon. And I know that when that time comes, we can always add that in when that change comes.
Correct. So. We'll go through the same exact process when that directive is received by the state. It may not be all the codes. It may just be that one.
Right.
Yeah. Further council discussion? Public comment on second reading ordinance 165. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
All right, second reading passes. Next on the agenda is new business, item A, discussion decision on utility billing policies and procedures. At the last council meeting, January 9th, council expressed interest in reviewing the utility billing policies and procedures that were adopted on December 12th. And in your council communication, it says they were adopted December 12th, 2020. That should say 19. What we've heard primarily from council is that there's a desire to move the billing terms from a 15-day term to a 30-day term. And so we've brought this forward so that council can make that adjustment if they desire or whatever other adjustments they feel are necessary in the policy.
I make a motion to adopt the change from 15 days to 30 days.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb, to modify billing policies from 15 days to 30 days billing cycle. So from this juncture, if you adopt that change tonight, we'll modify the billing policies and bring them forward at your February meeting with a new resolution so that that can be implemented. So it won't go into effect immediately. It'll just be the catalyst that will force the administration to go in and make those modifications. Ms. Holcomb?
I would also like to, well, I know he just made a motion, but we're now in the conversation part. I would also like to see that it go from 10% to 5%. I mean, I understand we're trying to get them caught up, but they're barely making it now. So adding a 10% on there is going to make it even harder for them to pay it. But I understand having to add something to it.
I'll amend my motion to change that, to add that change.
Okay, is there a second on the amendment?
I'll second that amendment.
All right, it's been moved and moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Mr. Michelson to amend the motion to include reducing the late fee of 10% to 5% per month. Council discussion on the amendment. Public comment on the amendment. Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, the amendment passes. The motion on the floor now is to change the billing terms from 15 days to 30 days and reduce the late fee from 10% to 5%. Any further council discussion? Those are the only two changes you'd like. Okay. Is there a public comment on the changes? Mr. Michelson.
I can wait until you come back to the council.
No, it doesn't appear there's any public comments, so okay. You're free to speak.
I'd just like some clarification on the, as far as we go down, I guess what I'm trying to say is, how many days before they get disconnected? How many notices go out? How long? Because it's kind of confusing the way I'm reading it here. 60 days. Delinquent water service billings remain unpaid, and over 60 days delinquent shall be turned over for collection. So that's 60 days from the time the notices go out, 60 days from, I mean, where's the starting point on this, I guess?
So when they hit the 60-day delinquent mark, they're essentially turned over for collection. And at this time, we do collections in-house. We don't turn that over to an outside agency. We make attempts to contact those people, and we hope that they'll contact us back. If after 60 days we've not heard from the customer and we've not been able to contact the customer and they've made no effort to pay, then that 60 days they get that notice. We usually give them an additional 10 to 15 days in that notice to contact us. If we don't hear from them, then they're scheduled for shutoff. Now, prior to that 60 days, if we hear from a customer and they're even keeping their account under the 60-day mark, where if they're $3, say, for example, we run the report, and they're $3 in the 60-day past due, the rest of their past due is less than 60 days, then we'll work with them to bring that balance under the 60 days so that they avoid shutoff. And we'll also deploy contracts with folks to help them chew up their past due balance into payments so that they avoid that shutoff. So we make every effort we can to avoid the shutoff people. And I mean, on a regular basis, correct me if I'm wrong, staff, because they're more involved in that, but we may send out 10 notices any given month, and we rarely shut anyone off. When we shut something off, it's typically a foreclosure, or they're well over $1,000 in delinquency, and we haven't heard from them. If they call us and say, can you wait till payday, or can you wait, we'll work with those folks.
To there is no late payment on those ones that you're working with, right? There is no, they go past 30 days and then they call you and say.
If their payment is received on time, if the payment that they've agreed to pay is received when they say it's going to come in, okay. Which for most accounts is that 15th day after the bill's been sent out, if we receive the payment that day or before, they avoid a late fee. Okay. But if they're late on the payment they promised us, then they get the late fee.
30 days past.
Correct.
Which when it goes into effect.
When it goes into effect, yeah. Okay. Or if they, I mean, if they're on a payment plan, they avoid that late fee as long as they make their payment. Because some of our payment plans, we may put their payment due on the 20th instead of the 15th or whatever the case is. And so those folks avoid late fees as well.
Okay.
As long as they follow through on their commitment to the town, right?
Yeah, got it. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. That addresses, hopefully, council. If there's any further public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
All right, motion carries. We'll make those changes and bring them back in an amended resolution. All right, unfinished item B is discussion on council meeting attendance by the city attorney. The council president and I held a meeting last week for updates on happenings and such, and he desired or expressed the desire and wanted further council input on the discussion around having Mr. Owens attend regular council meetings. It's been brought to council's attention that we are at or over 100% of the city attorney's budget, where we budgeted just shy of $16,000 for legal services in the fiscal year ending 2020. We're halfway through that year and we've used that money. That's partially due to the activity of the town, where if we have more frequent special meetings, that obviously drives up the bill. If there's more research or consultation needed, for example, when we were looking at reducing water rates, that chewed up some time. And then there's part of that time that half of that budget, the $16,000, is allocated to prosecuting attorney services, which we frankly have no control over. That is dependent on the number of tickets and complaints that are received from the police department into the court and what the court does for their schedule as far as court hearings and that sort of thing. So it's caseload driven and we don't necessarily have a choice. We're statutorily obligated to have a prosecuting attorney available for that caseload. And so mind you that when we budgeted, half of that expense was for those activities as well. So to help address the cost issue, Robert and I are reevaluating the budget to see where more funding can come from in order to offset the expenses we anticipate to continue to see within legal services. In looking at other communities, we missed the mark and frankly didn't do an effective job in the budget of budgeting for legal services. We messed that up as an administration. Last year we spent $20,000 on legal services, and it was frankly naive of us to think that we could get away with less than that. We thought maybe there was cost savings there with a different attorney, and we didn't know the activity of the council and of the town at the time without a crystal ball. We know that now, and with changes in his attendance and that sort of thing, we know we're going to have to make more funding available in the next fiscal year budget of 2021 for that. So we are below the bar as far as funding the legal services budget goes compared to other communities. It's not uncommon for communities to spend, hundreds of thousands of dollars depending on their population, or, in the more relative ballpark of $30,000, which is something we're probably looking at. So, nonetheless, Council President and I wanted to open up a dialogue with the council to hear what it is that they have concerns of, if anything, and to express their desires. Mr. Michelson?
As I expressed with you at our meeting last week, Mayor Dewey, I do not think that our city attorney needs to be here at every meeting, And I understand your reasoning behind it, as you stated to me, that we're spending money now, which could be saved later in possible litigation. And I get that, but to be over this much, this early in the budget season, with this much to go, it just, to me, makes no sense. We just, on a related note, we just bought a Bobcat, we just bought a Skidster, we bought a squad car. We went on a spending spree, the council did this last time, and to sit here and look to cut somewhere else to make this work here, I think would be better used if we only needed our city attorney as a need-be basis. Brian West, when he was here, I can count on two hands the times in the 3.5 years I was on council that he was at the meetings. And you know too, Brandon, he wasn't here unless we wanted him, both parties. And I really feel that Scott, of course, he needs to be here tonight, of course, because we're talking about him, but there's some meetings I just don't need. We don't need Scott. Don't need him here. I mean, it's pretty evident on land issues, water issues, and other things where we could have him here for an opinion, but a lot of the times I just don't feel that it needs to be on site, because a lot of the times we're paying him here, and then we send him an email and ask for opinion or something there. Of course, his time is important, and we have to pay him for that too. And we're at $17,000 now. In another 5 months, we're going to be over 30, probably. And that's just, I would think that if we could bring it back up during the budget season and allocate more money for that, he could spend more time here. But the present time, until we figure out where we're at, I would like to see him not come to so many meetings. Thank you.
Sure. And to clarify, when we talk about Robert and I reevaluating the budget, because the budget was adopted halfway through the year in December, a lot of the things that we had in the budget as far as time spent on projects and other purchases, maybe not necessarily material things, but other initiatives we planned to have bring forward that impacted the budget in the first half of the fiscal year, aren't going to happen because it took us so long to get to the budget adoption. So we had put those projects off. So we're evaluating what that looks like, how much cost savings there is, because we aren't doing those things, there will be an evident underspending in the general fund. So it's not necessarily that when I said we would evaluate the budget that we were going to go through and start cutting lines necessarily. But if there's money that we acknowledge won't be spent because the budget was adopted late, then we can allocate that towards other uses. I just want to clarify that. Any other council discussion? Ms. Holcomb.
I would have to agree. Not that you're... but Brian West wasn't here as much, and he had just as much to do as Scott has. And I know before Brian West, we did have a counsel or an attorney that was here at every meeting, and that's what made us realize that we didn't need one here, and that to bring the cost down in our budget. So I would be in agreement. I mean, if we really need them here, that's fine. But if it's something like a very short meeting, I don't think we would need our attorney here.
Okay.
And that's something I have to agree with too. I mean, unlike both of you guys, I wasn't here when Mr. West was the attorney. So Scott's been the only attorney that I've got to know over the past several months. But I mean, I kind of have to agree there that it is costing us a lot of money to have Mr. Owens here whenever we're having short agendas or short public hearing, things like that. And that's really my only concern, is the cost of it.
Sure. And just so we're clear, because I did approach Scott about this notion, when he's here at meetings and he's not necessarily engaged in the discussion, he is working on town matters, probably closer related to prosecuting and other matters related to the town of Stevensville. So he's not, you know, doing the Tetris game or anything like that, or any especially since we moved the live feed right behind him. To clarify that, we do get some work out of him while he's here, but there is an expense to having him here at the meeting in terms of travel, and as he does commute here from Missoula. So. And this is something we can certainly further discuss if the council is willing as we outline strategic goals on our fifth Friday meeting, which I'll address in the executive report. So, but I wanted to give council a chance to express their thoughts on the matter to the administration, and so we'll take those. And
I have a question for Scott.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brandon just noted that when you're at meetings here, you're doing town work. Then does that reflect on your?
No.
Does that reflect on the bill?
Are you asking me? This is the first time I've used this. Are you asking me if I'm double billing? No.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if he says, he just said you're sitting here doing work, and then I'm looking at your invoices over a fine tooth comb, and I'm wondering, well, I could see where you're charging us as far as research, emails, blah, blah.
Absolutely. No, I'm not charging you for the work that I'm doing.
Okay.
And a lot of the times it's reviewing questions or sometimes coming up at council meeting. Or going through stuff in the prosecution role.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any further from council? All right. Executive report. I have another written report for you. I'll continue to do this because I don't know if you find it helpful or not, but hopefully you do. And just like last time, we'll upload this onto the website on the mayor's homepage so that public can view it as well. I changed the color so that you can tell the difference between this one and the last one. And I meant to include an agenda. So we were able to finalize the agenda today for our staff and council work session, where council authorized closure of town hall on the fifth Friday of the month so that we had an opportunity to work through topics and do training and updates without interruption of walk-in traffic and phone calls. We understand that that's an experimental basis, and so we're going to give that a shot on January 31st and then review the feedback from that. But the agenda has been pulled together, and if council wants to, we could give you a hard copy tonight if you want. But otherwise, what we'll do is we'll publish it on the website under meetings and email it to you, because I have some other notes I can include with that. So we'll email that agenda out to you, but the way it's structured, the morning half of the day is designated for staff development. There's some updates and some budget discussions that we're going to have early on in the year in that regard, and some department head meetings. And then from 1 o'clock on, we've designated that for the town council. So if town council members are available to attend, great. If you're not, we understand. We understand you have other obligations. We're hoping with the advance notice you have that maybe you can fit that into your schedule at some point during the day. So from 1 to 5, we'll work on some strategic planning. As council in the summer of 2019 asked for a strategic plan from the mayor's office and from the administration, we'd like that to be a joint strategic plan between the council and the mayor. And so we need a chance to sit down with you and hear what it is that you'd like to be included in that plan. In addition, we'd like to walk out of the room on Friday with vision and mission statements for the organization. We currently don't have those. We kind of just wing it. And I wonder if the fact that we don't have those leads to some discord in the governing body. So. We're hoping that maybe that'll address some things. In terms of the fire department interlocal agreement, I know this is a hot button issue with council and you're eager to see this through. You approved revisions to the interlocal agreement with Rural Fire on July 11th of 2019, pending review by the town's legal counsel. The fire chief and I have met with the city attorney. We met yesterday and discussed the changes that were circumstantially approved by town council. There are some concerns still on our side, town side, with the attorney and the chief, with language in the agreement that would grant SRFD exclusive control of property that the and facilities owned by the town. So we want to massage that, find some alternative language that will satisfactorily address the concerns that the administration has while still living into what intent that SRFD is looking for. And we're doing so rapidly, and so you can expect proposed language to come forward in a February town council meeting. In the meantime, to dispel any concerns or rumors, the 2017 interlocal agreement still remains in effect. So there's no effect on services provided to the community by not having the new 2020 agreement in place. We still have an agreement in place, so that remains in effect. We did have had a property owner rather experience a sewer backup issue on Tuesday. The issue was immediately addressed by Public Works. The property owner has filed a property damage claim with MMIA, which is standard. That happens typically anytime someone's basement fills with sewage. That doesn't necessarily mean that the town of Stevensville is liable for that backup, and that's something MMIA will determine. PD vehicle acquisition, in terms of the mentioned spending spree, so to speak, that we've been on, supposedly. We have not yet purchased a patrol vehicle. State of Montana they closed their invitation for bid on November 11th, but due to lack of vendor availability of the units, this invitation was reissued. So we're waiting for state pricing to come back on a couple of different vehicles before we proceed with a purchase for sure. And I would expect it should be no longer than 30 to 45 days before we have an order placed if pricing comes back reasonably. So we've got a busy couple weeks coming up with Planning and Zoning Board meeting on Monday the 27th at 6 o'clock, Thursday at 6 o'clock the 30th. We have a committee of the whole meeting, and those agendas are on our website. Staff Council joint work session for Council starts at 1 o'clock on Friday the 31st. And Thursday, the 6th of January at 7, we have a Board of Adjustment meeting, public hearing. That agenda is also on the website with a packet, and that Board of Adjustment meeting is regarding an agency exemption requested by the Stevensville School District on some development code that they'd like exempted from.
Is that January 6th or February 6th?
February 6th, excuse me. And then you have your regular town council meeting on the 13th. So we don't anticipate adding any meetings between now and the 13th. That pretty much solidifies things up and will keep us on our toes. And so with that, that's all I have to report in the executive report. I'll open it up to town council comments, if there are any. Mr. Michelson.
I've had two people call me since I've been on council, and I just wanted to remind Town Hall that dog license, if you're a senior citizen 60 over, according to town ordinance, you get that at half price. It's in the town ordinance here. That's
correct. Right. And if they do have to tell us that they want that discount.
Oh yeah.
We don't necessarily guess everyone's age that walks through the door. So yeah. That gets us into trouble. They're easier on the ladies when they ask, but some of us that ask at the window don't always get the response we're looking for. So, thank you.
Boom on the side of the
window. Correct. Luckily we have the glass now. So, yeah. All right. Thank you. We'll bring that to staff's attention and make sure that they're cognizant of that charge. Any further council comments, Ms. Holcomb?
I had someone send me a message and complain about the papers that are just left in the driveways and just scattered all over the place from the Star. I know it's not the Star's fault, but if people can pick up their papers, even if you're not going to read it, you're just going to throw away, just don't leave it laying out, because it does start making the town look like a mess.
Okay. Any further council comments? Speechless tonight?
For once, I'll be quiet.
All right. Very good. Are there any board reports? Have boards met?
Well, now I'm not going to be silent because you're asking about boards. I guess I'll kind of represent the airport board with our recent trip to Helena. What was that exact number in grant money that we brought in?
I don't have the exact number, but it was the match of everything they needed. for their project this year, so they don't have to fund anything. Plus, they got a pilot check for free, about $35,000. They're going to fund too.
Yeah.
So they did very well up there. They had a little over $3 million giveaway, if you will. And they funded. They divided everything, and they had money left over. One of the projects they didn't fund was what they wanted to do, the perimeter road going in, but they didn't grant that, even though it was eligible. They didn't grant that for a lot of the airports. But they did very good up there, so they couldn't get anybody happy.
I want to say, doing some quick math in my head, it was around $209,000 that we brought back from Helena last week. So.
Any other board reports? I don't think you guys have met. Planning and zoning meets Monday, though.
Right.
All right. Wonderful. Okay, if there's nothing further from council, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Yeah.